6:31 on a Wednesday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Let's go to the phone lines now. Joining us, as he does every week here on the Halford Bruff Show, NHL insider on Hockey Night Canada, senior writer for Sportsnet, Chris Johnson. Siege joins us now on the program. Good morning, Siege. How are you, bud?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're good, thanks. Thanks for taking the time, as always, to do this. We appreciate it.
We're arguing about Tanner Pearson here in Vancouver.
It's another scintillating morning in Vancouver.
We're a little bit bored without any hockey games being played. Have you heard anything about the Canucks possibly re-signing Tanner Pearson? And I suppose a follow-up question to that is, how much of a pay cut are you seeing guys like Tanner Pearson, who's not a superstar, but he's a useful NHL player approaching his 30s? How much of a pay cut are these guys going to have to take in this flat cap environment?
Well, you guys at least are talking about the right things, because I think that that's kind of the crux of the entire situation. The Canucks certainly have explored and expressed some interest in re-signing him. But, you know, I do think that this is a bit of a chicken game that a lot of agents and teams are going to play. We saw it a little bit last year in the October offseason we had. You know, that's the main reason Taylor Hall ended up on a one-year deal in Buffalo, was that, you know, the kind of offers he would have expected in a normal time weren't there for him to be found. And so if you're someone like Tanner Pearson, who obviously doesn't have the resume that Taylor Hall did going into that negotiation, you know, you like Vancouver, you know, I do think, all things being equal, he'd be more than happy to stay. But you're weighing, you know, what the Canucks can pay you against what you expect to get on the open market. And I think that's a mystery right now, honestly. I mean, we haven't really seen an environment like this since NHL salary cap was put in 2005. It went up every single season. Well, now we're not only facing a flat cap environment from this year to next year, but it's for multiple years down the road. And so, you know, I think ultimately what this will come down to is the Canucks will make a best offer at some point. Maybe it's already on the table. Maybe it's still to come. And Tanner's going to have to make that kind of bet. Is it worth, you know, potentially being traded, having to move right now, and then test the open market, or take that deal in Vancouver and stay where you're comfortable and you like playing?
You know, it's funny because, maybe not funny for Pearson, but his age and his position don't really leave him with a ton of clout in free agents. Like, if you go back to last offseason, free agency of 2020, the five most lucrative contracts signed were all either defensemen or goalies. Like the middle-aged, and by middle-aged, I mean, you know, in that 28 to 30 range, winger was the guy that ended up sitting around, not necessarily left holding the bag, but waiting for something to materialize that didn't. I mean, the big paydays last year were Petrangelo, Krug, Markstrom, Brody, and then Tanev. You forget that was $18 million total on that contract. You know, then you go down, the highest paid forward in the group last year was Tyler Toffoli, and that's largely regarded as being a great value signing for Montreal.
Right, and Tyler Toffoli had to wait. You know, I can't remember how many days in the free agency it was, but he was seeing options dry up. You know, he was waiting around hoping Vancouver would bring him back. So, you know, it's such a strange environment. Mike Hoffman, who admittedly is you know, a one-dimensional player, very offensive, his defensive metrics are poor over a period of time. But, I mean, he ended up signing a PTO in St. Louis. You know, he had this deal in the drawer, but, you know, I think he'd scored 30 goals prior to that. And so, you know, it is a strange time. It was a bad year to be a free agent. I guess the question becomes, is that the new norm, or was that just the 1 year? And, you know, the guys coming up this season will be rewarded. And you know, it's something I started to dig into in terms of, you know, asking agents and some GMs when I have just normal day-to-day conversation, and there's nothing near consensus out there about how this will go. But, you know, it's entirely possible a flat cap is going to be really bad for players, you know, in the back half of their careers. And you know, we've sort of seen it trending that way, but, you know, this event of the pandemic and what it's done to the business of the league might, you know, speed things up in that regard.
Siege, what are you hearing with regards to Taylor Hall and where he might go, if he might go?
Well, unfortunately, for those of us with a Monday television show, I don't think he's going to be on the market through till Monday. You know, it does seem as though the pace of the trade talks have picked up speed. You know, at this point, being held out of the game last night against New Jersey, you know, really we're at the phase where Kevin Adams is trying to leverage Taylor Hall. You know, he's done playing for Buffalo. He's there to be had, and now it's about trying to pit the few teams that are in this sweepstakes against each other and see if you can, you know, maybe get a first round pick. I'm still a little personally skeptical that it'll get to that point just because of Taylor's salary and how few of these teams really, you know, some team's going to have to twist itself into a pretzel to make this happen and probably, you know, have Buffalo retain some or half of the salary on Taylor's contract. But, you know, I'm keeping my eyes on Colorado in this one. You know, they were definitely interested in him at a certain price point in free agency.
No, they're too good. I won't allow it.
They already have the best team in the league, I would say, at this point. And, you know, I think for them, it's not necessarily something they need, but when you're in a win now year as they are, you probably try to add the best assets you can. And so to me, that one makes a lot of sense. We'll see if it happens.
You know, speaking of the Avs, we're looking for opportunities for the Canucks in the expansion draft. The Canucks on the back end, they could use a defenseman. They could use a bunch of things, but they could use a defenseman. And they're in an okay position because they don't have to protect Quinn Hughes. So they do have, I would say, an open slot there. Are the Avs going to be able to protect all those defensemen that they've got?
I don't think so. You know, it's funny because the one difference that Seattle's going to have, I think, in their expansion process versus Vegas is teams stopped giving out no movement clauses more or less in the last 3-4 years. You know, obviously the very top players are getting them now, but, you know, there's fewer teams that are handcuffed by their no move clauses for the Seattle expansion experience than were 4 years ago. But the Avs, to me, are the one exception because Eric Johnson, who's been injured this year, you know, happens to have a no move clause with the Avs. And then they also have to protect Cale Makar, Samuel Girard, Devon Taves, and even Ryan Graves is, you know, for them is a pretty useful defenseman and still, you know, at the good age, you know, around mid 20s. So, you know, I do think that they're one of the teams that really does have a forced protection issue. I'm not sure how they're going to navigate that. I don't even think they're that concerned about it right now in the sense that, you know, they're all in to try to win the cup and deal with it in July. But, you know, that you're smart to target them. You know, if you like Matt Dumba, I think Minnesota is another potential option where you have that because they have to protect Suter, Spurgeon, and Brodin because of their no movement clauses. So they're another team that kind of has, you know, a bit of a logjam or a bit of a protection challenge. But, you know, there's less of that this time around because teams saw what it did the last time. And really, most of the bad trades that were made with teams with Vegas were all because those teams had issues with players that they were forced to protect through those no trade clauses, and those have largely kind of disappeared.
Did you ask Kevin Bieksa if he feels bad about the Ducks losing Shea Theodore because of his no movement clause?
I didn't. I thought about texting him yesterday about that when I was looking back on this issue, but then I was like, I'm not going to poke the bear because I know it's coming back at me twice as hard on TV at some point.
Yeah, exactly. I just recall that situation down in Anaheim, and it, you know, it was a tough one for the Ducks, and they've got to be looking at Shea Theodore and going, man, guy could have helped.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It was also because they wanted to keep Manson, right?
Yeah.
Like they still had a choice to keep Theodore or Manson. They just couldn't keep both.
Yeah. In fact, they kept Botman over
right,
both of them
as well.
That's
right. Yeah.
So, I mean, really, it was Kevin's no trade clause or no movement clause that forced the issue, but then they made the wrong decision too, I would say, because they had the chance to choose between which of those young D they were losing, and I think they lost the wrong one.
Salford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We're talking with Chris Johnson. Chris, Brendan Gallagher's injury in Montreal, is he going to be back for the playoffs? And if he is, could the Habs use some of the cap space his injury will give them to add a forward to an already pretty deep group?
Yes and yes. You know, I do think he'll be back. You know, this is a warrior type of player. So even if he's somewhere less than 100%, I have a hard time believing that it'll be tough to keep him out of the lineup. You know, should they get back to the, you know, the playoffs in what, 5 weeks time or so. But, you know, this does create some opportunity for Montreal, which really didn't have much of it. I mean, after the Eric Staal trade, you know, they really were a team that any future moves they were going to have to make would involve money going out. You know, Artturi Lehkonen's name was out there and some of their other depth forwards. You know, they put Paul Byron on waivers a couple times, hoping someone might pick him up to create that room. Well, now they have it. And, you know, Mark Bergevin's interesting. He's the GM that gets up in front of the reporters and says we're doing nothing and then makes a big trade the next day or a decent trade the next day, you know, I would think that they'll be a little bit more active now because of the situation. It's one they'd prefer not to have. Obviously, they'd like to have Gallagher in their lineup. But, you know, I think that this does change what Montreal will do in these next few days because, you know, they're fourth in the North Division, but I think that they believe that they can, you know, and rightly so, that they can go on a playoff run this year, that, you know, even though the Leafs, you know, currently would be the team they'd slot up against, I think, you know, Montreal, with the way they're built, you know, might fare well in that matchup. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see them go out and make a deal now.
You know, it's funny because the natural reaction to when you hear Gallagher breaking his hand for what I believe is the 16th time is you're kind of like, oh, man.
It's almost like he goes to the net.
Right. He's like, oh, man, what a bummer. And that's such a downer. And he's going to miss a significant amount of time. But then you take a step back and, you know, you got to remember that sometimes these injuries have been so fruitful and beneficial for teams going into the playoffs. I mean, everyone knows about what the Canucks did in 2011 with, you know, manipulating money so they could get Higgins and LaPierre at the deadline. And the one I remember more recently was in 2015 when Patrick Kane, the Chicago Blackhawks, Kane broke his collarbone, was very clearly good to go. I think he had like a hat trick in his first game in the playoffs, but because he sat out and they were able to use LTIR, it allowed him to get Antoine Vermette, and they went on to win the Stanley Cup. So at first blush, sometimes you think these injuries are going to be devastating only to realize they could actually be really beneficial because of the cap manipulation.
Right. And just because, you know, no player wants to be injured, I'm sure it's disappointing for Gallagher, but you know, it's also, you know, 5 weeks worth of games he doesn't have to play.
Yeah.
And given the schedule, I mean, I think lots of players around the league, if we gave them truth serum or a beer or whatever, would admit that this has been a grind on their bodies and their minds and everything. And so, you know, once Brendan gets it to step back, he doesn't have to play those games. I'm sure he can rest up whatever other sort of nicks and bruises he has. And imagine how excited he'll be if he is able to return for the playoffs, you know, coming off that kind of layoff. And so there's a trade-off there, and it's not all bad, as you point out. And certainly from just a pure asset management cap perspective, it changes the kind of things that they can do because they're not just talking now about having to, you know, is the player we're getting worth subtracting a player we have to subtract, all that stuff. I mean, the equation goes out the window. They can trade a draft pick if they want and add some salary. And you know, I think that I would expect them to do that, as I said, just because I think it's going to end up being a buyer's market. It seems like there's not that many teams truly that are out there willing to do those types of things. And I think the prices are going to drop here, which could play into Mark Bergevin's hands as well.
We're speaking of Sportsnet, NHL insider Chris Johnson here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Chris, I know you wrote about this the other day, but I wanted to ask, I know we kind of touched on the expansion draft and no movement clauses, but your piece up about Seattle and GM Ron Francis, how active do you expect the Kraken and Francis to be at this year's trade deadline in terms of getting involved in things?
I think they're very active, you know, is my sense of things. You know, as I mentioned earlier in the answer, I don't think we'll see them make the number of trades Vegas did. Vegas made 10 trades around the protection issue stuff, but they're going to be able to make some. And you know, it's an interesting time because those trades don't get registered officially. They're only handshakes put in the drawer, you know, Ron Francis's word, you know, against other GMs. So we won't necessarily learn about them. But, you know, the Marc-Andre Fleury deal with Vegas was cooked up before the trade deadline back in 2017. And so, you know, this is actually quite an important time for the Kraken's hockey operations department because it's really the first time they can make those types of moves. They've been on the sidelines since, you know, since they got their team awarded and they started filling out their staff. But now this is putting things into practice. And I'm sure whether it's a team like the Avalanche or the Wild or some others that have some protection worries, you know, they'll be having those talks, if not contemplating deals. And, you know, maybe teams that are thinking of bringing in a player might be doing the same thing. So, you know, the Kraken are low-key in the game now. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to probably hear about it too much. But I bet in July when we reflect back and look at some of the trades that are made around the picks, we can identify that those deals were actually, you know, consummated right around this time now.
By the time we talk again next, Siege, we'll have answers to all of these questions. The trade deadline is on Monday. You'll be back here on Wednesday. Thanks for doing this, bud. Have a good one.
No problem. We might be talking about a Canucks game at that point, too, but fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. That's Chris Johnson here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.